let's just hop right in. Welcome to Ghosts. All right, cancel it.
Cancel. It's over.
It's over.
Hey, you know what? Welcome to Ghosts to Show You. I'm Lillian.
I'm Emily.
And folks, it's been a while, and here we are.
Here we are again. We haven't crossed over to the other side, as some listeners might have assumed based on our absence from your podcast feed.
We are very much alive, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, we just wanted to check in with you guys, do a fun episode, keep you posted about what our intentions are with your daughters. Just kidding. What our intentions are with this podcast, our upcoming episodes, you know, keep you in the loop. Yeah. And have some fun along the way.
I think that perfectly sums it up, Lillian.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what have you been up to, Lil?
You know, not a whole heck of a lot. Certainly not ghost hunting.
Yeah, sadly.
Sadly not ghost hunting at the moment, though we hope to get back to it. But yeah, I mean, I was doing a decent amount of research about ghosts. I wrote a paper, so that's something paranormal related.
That's right. Well, do you want to tell folks your big news?
Oh yeah, my huge news. Everyone was waiting to hear this from me. But yeah, so I wrote a paper about ghosts, and I got into grad school with it. So here's to all, you know, if you want to do something dumb, you can. That's an inspiration to you all, I hope.
I think that's a message people could take away from, you know, every episode of our podcast.
If you want to agree, that's kind of the underlying thing.
Want to get drunk and harass a clerk at a hotel? You can do that.
You know, and we hope that we're kind of shining the light the way for you.
We want to be a beacon.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to school for folklore and public culture. So hopefully that will bring an added je ne sais quoi to this podcast.
Gravitas, I would say.
Exactly, exactly. I'm hoping to be kind of like a talking head in all of the horrible shows you see. So
that would be a dream. Me.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's your lower third is, you know, PhD in folklore.
I'm not getting a PhD, but
Dr. Folklore Devane.
You can say I'm Dr. Folklore now. So just please call me that. Thank you. It's respectful.
Yeah.
How have you been, Emily? What's up with you?
Oh, also not a whole heck of a lot. I did adopt a second dog, which has taken up most of my time. And which I told my family on the Passover Zoom yesterday that two dogs is too much. So, but other than that, I am also anxious to get back out into the field. You know, I miss hunting for ghosts with my old pal Lillian.
Yes.
I have been on and off editing our forthcoming episode, which has been a little tricky.
Basically, we've got a lot of audio. It's going to be a great episode, but, Emily has you know, we do all this ourselves. So Emily has the task of kind of going through like 12 hours of constant talking. So
yeah, that's part of it. Part of it, is how the audio was obtained, which some of it is questionable ethically and legally.
Yeah, we're going to kind of revise our tactics after this one.
Exactly. We are. Going forward, we plan on revising our tactics. It's going to be easier, again, legally and ethically for us. So that has been a little tricky to navigate. I'm sure that you'll hear it when we do post the episode, but we have a wonderful episode that we recorded out in the field, in October, and, I'm working my way through it, and we should have that soon. But before that drops, we're going to bring you this delightful episode in which we just thought it would be fun to talk about a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One of which is the Dearly Departed Museum, which is in LA. And has dearly departed, unfortunately.
Ah, yes. One of the many casualties of the pandemic. Honestly, one that hit me harder than I... it shouldn't hit anyone this hard. But I took it. I think we both took it pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, one of my greatest fears is that all of the weird things that, like, probably don't need to exist but do for our pleasure are, like, going to be destroyed. And those are the only things that make this world worth living in. You know, we all love restaurants, but it's like, okay, we can recreate a restaurant. You know, sure. It's sad. But
you can't recreate getting, you know, fucking Humphrey Bogart's liver medication or whatever the fuck.
Yes, exactly.
And, I mean, you know, viewing things, it with your own eyes.
So the Dearly Departed Museum, you have a little more information about this, but it's basically located across the street from Hollywood Forever, which is an incredibly famous and beautiful historic cemetery in the City of Angels.
In the City of Angels. So back in January, was it?
Of last year, before the pandemic hit, yeah.
Yeah, before the pandemic hit, Lillian and I were in L.A. Listeners recall our episode at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel.
One of my personal favorites.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A fantastic episode. If you haven't listened, go back and check it out. But while we were there, we went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which, as Lillian said, is a beautiful cemetery. It's, like, so fun to walk around and not only see all of the famous graves that are there and mausoleums, but just, like, the normal people that have the craziest headstones I've ever seen, with, like, their faces laser etched onto the gravestones. And they have these, like, giant buildings that have everybody gets this little, like a glass box that had different items of the deceased.
It's like a diorama of your life.
Yeah.
Next to your ashes.
That I thought was so cool.
It's really cool.
And now that I'm thinking about it, it's actually making me want to, like, start writing my will, which I'm actually legally obligated to do anyway based on my prenup. But
Emily, this is
sad. Am I going off?
No? I don't like the legal death. Nope. Okay.
Just really briefly, I just would like to say, I'll just record my wishes here, which is that
please record your will. This is an audio will from Emily Bannock, starting now.
I'm really excited for lawyers and my husband to listen to this after my untimely demise. I would like a sort of like a plexiglass gravestone, and inside some of my greatest, you know, some of my personal artifacts to be displayed inside, you know, maybe some fake flowers, some lights, you know.
Okay,
I've really gotten off track.
No, I was waiting for you to, I want you to go more in detail.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't bored. This is me intently listening.
Well, I just thought of this idea, so I haven't worked out all of the details.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe some sort of like resin composite gravestone, you know, with etchings on it. But then inside, maybe like a lock of my hair.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, a photo of me, some sort of shrine, basically, to be displayed.
Maybe some sports trophies from when you were a kid, you know, across the
Just, you know, various Emily ephemera. I'm going to have to start thinking about what exactly that is, but...
Well, I have a list, so I'll just send it to you. I have a list of things that should be in your mausoleum, just kind of a going... It's a Google Doc. I'll share you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm thinking too small, because I was just picturing a headstone, but I should get a mausoleum.
Oh, yeah. You get a Judy Garland. Get a Judy Garland.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually put in the show notes just a sort of a crowdfunding.
Perfect.
What's it called? GoFundMe for my mausoleum, because it's going to be sick. And say, everybody who donates.
Is Emily unwell? No, she's fine. We're just sort of started. We're sort of starting now.
I just feel like you should start now, because, you know, by the time I am unwell, it's too late.
This is what community looks like.
Yeah. I mean, some of my best outfits could be on display. It could be sort of like a mini Met Gala, you know.
Oh, I see. It's like your presidential library slash. Okay, I got it. This vision is great.
You know, included in that is definitely like the hoodie that I wore in high school, where I like sewed all the patches on. I had like the anti-MTV patch.
Okay. Yeah. We might need to do some editing on that. I don't know if we want that legacy. So
Lillian's going to curate it.
I'm the head of, I don't know what it's called. The
head curator of my mausoleum, library, you know, museum.
Chairman of the board.
Anyways, gotten way off track.
So we were there, and that we had all those thoughts. And I read about this museum. They do, so there's a museum, and then they do, I think what they're most famous for at Dearly Departed are those, like, horrific and tasteless
tours.
Sort of tours of, like, oh, here's where...
Death tours.
Look down this street. Yeah, like, this is where Sharon Tate got, you know, you can't go there, but, you know, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Little gruesome, you know, stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of, but is, you know, that's what they do. That's, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I, you know, I
Could
don't...
Could be fun.
I, like, speaking of things that are ethically and legally dubious, this museum fully embodies, you know, those ideas.
Oh, yes, yes, 100%. But in the most unharmful, charming way, in my opinion. Well, here's the thing, everybody. Just to give you a quick idea, because I did take pictures and Emily took a video, even though both of those things are not allowed. It's a little bit like there's a whole market for these things. So, like, it's like an ambulance chaser sort of situation.
Exactly.
Of somebody dies. Most of the people in this CD list, celebrities, somebody goes to their funeral, plucks out a rose from their, you know, arrangement. Somebody dies, they go to their estate, they take a chunk of the pool that they
right.
swam in when it's being demolished, and that's where they died. And it's like, we have a chunk of Rock Hudson's hot tub or something. So it's like, this is the collection, and it's like so depraved. They had Karen Carpenter's sink. It's like,
right.
these are people who have intimate knowledge of the
celebrity. Of the celebrity's death.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a completely deranged thing to do, but I like it because it is so it's like unapologetically deranged.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about, I mean, I was about
to
say.
It's not like they're paparazzi. It's like they're dead.
Yeah. It only might affect, you know, the families. Like,
sure.
You know, like, for instance, their biggest display and the reason that they, so they originally, I guess, had the museum near Amoeba Records. Mm-hmm. And then they had to move to a bigger space because they acquired the Jane Mansfield death car. And that is the biggest draw of this museum, or, like, at least it's their biggest, like, selling
point.
That's
their Starry, Starry Night. That's their Mona Lisa. yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the centerpiece.
So they have, that's the centerpiece of the museum. So they, you know, I read a few articles on the man who started this museum, Scott Michaels, who also, by the way, I don't know if I had ever heard the term death hag until I read
wow.
that's what they call the people who are really into this stuff is like death hags.
Oh my God. I love it.
Which wow. we both are.
I mean, let's
I guess.
Not quite, I think we're not at hag status.
We're flirting with death hagdom. The Emily and Lillian story.
Yes. Okay. So that's amazing. I love that.
Wait, where was I going with that?
I don't know, but I did email with this gentleman. Now I looked up his name just now. So
you did?
Yeah, I told you that, didn't I?
No.
Okay, well, finish your story.
Okay,
finish the setup.
Oh, okay. So the setup is that he has this museum. He's this interesting character. Yeah. And as we said, you know, he somehow is able to, like, go and acquire these things through, I'm sure,
a network of crazy people.
Yeah, right.
That's
a network
what
of
it
crazy
is.
People who, you know, give him a phone call when a celebrity dies, and then he goes and he, like, pillages the wreck, or, you know, takes dirt from outside their home, or, like,
I'm
you know,
obsessed.
One of the other, I guess, quote unquote standouts is the door from Divine's motel room. So Divine was in Los Angeles to film a guest appearance on Married with Children mm-hmm. and died in a motel room. I think of, was it a heart attack?
Yeah, I think it was just something sudden like that in his sleep.
Yeah, so they have the door of that room.
And it's like, I'm sure they had to wait until that got renovated and they're like, I got eyes on Divine's
yeah.
hotel room in fucking 6 years. When it goes down, we know. It's like, that is like the crazy. It's so crazy. I love
yeah.
it. It's so specific and weird.
Yeah. So there are a couple interviews with Scott Michaels, who started this museum, And there were a couple of interesting facts about him. One,
what's the age here? Sorry, just want to get a mental image.
Oh,
we get a sense of this.
How old is he?
Michael Scott.
Scott Michaels.
I know, I'm just kidding, but oh. Steve Carell in my mind. Mm-hmm. Let's say 50s. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
Yeah, probably 50s.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
So one interesting tidbit about Scott. Is that he, it says in one of the articles, he grew up in Detroit and his family home was on the corner of a busy street. And he recalls regularly hearing the sounds and seeing the results of countless car accidents. And him and his siblings saw it as something normal and, quote, almost a free show. I don't know if that's a quote from him. It's a quote from the article. So that is crazy. And then it also casually mentions in two articles, I think the two articles I read, one was in LA Weekly and one, there was another one. I can put these articles in the show notes later, I suppose. we're not, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we don't have show notes. We are the show notes.
We are the fucking show notes. It also says that he first dabbled in celebrity death selling tombstone t-shirts and keychains when he lived in Chicago. Which I think just means that he, when celebrities would die, he would like, I don't know exactly, I'm just picturing
like a
him.
Bootleg, like Michael Jackson shirt.
I pictured it being like their a picture of their tombstone.
What?
On no. a shirt.
No way.
That's really, I don't know.
That's really crazy.
It says tombstone t-shirts and keychains. Why would it say tombstone?
Okay, maybe it's like a drawing. Anyways. Yeah.
Either way, demented
and yeah.
a strange way to just be like, well, this is something I'm going to capitalize on.
This really dovetails with like the National Enquirer. I bet you they were at the same time rising together. They have a lot of overlap. Tabloid culture in this guy. Wow, so interesting. I'm obsessed with him. I did email him because I'm sure I was like PMSing and I literally was so upset about hearing about the Daily Wire Museum that I messaged him and I was like, hey, like, just want to let you know that I went to your museum early last year before COVID, and it was, like, probably my favorite experience I've had in a long time. I really enjoyed myself. It's really cool, blah, blah, blah. I'm really sorry to hear about you closing. I basically was, like, just kind of wondering what happened to all that stuff.
Wow.
Is it in a warehouse? What's going on? And he was, like, really sweet and was like, thank you so much, this means so much to me, like blah blah blah. He was like, we are moving to a new location in Palm Springs, so resurrected by the grace of God, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really sweet. I was like, why am I writing this guy? But it's, COVID changes you. I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, I started up a correspondence with Greg from our Millennium Biltmore episode. In fact, I should follow up with him again. He's so cute.
The magician bartender Greg.
Yeah. Magician bartender Greg. I actually want to follow up and see how he's doing. I wonder if he's going to go
job
back to work.
Back. What's going
yeah.
on? This podcast really builds a special network.
I agree.
Yeah. Of us just like talking to people and then telling you guys about it.
yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, it's really cool. I hope to go again and it's new, you know, iteration.
Yeah. I hope so too. There's a quote from one of the articles. I think it's the LA Weekly article where they're interviewing him and it says, on this particular day though, an exhausted Michaels and his husband, Troy Musgrave, and his loyal staff are rushing to the newly christened, dearly departed Tours and Artifact Museum, rushing to get the newly christened, dearly departed Tours and Artifact Museum ready for the, quote, death hags.
Oh, my God. Okay, great. I'm so glad I have a t-shirt from this place.
Yes, and update, I did not initially buy a t-shirt when we went there because, you know, I took it for granted. I was like, I'm always going to be able to come to this museum. And obviously that's not the case, but I was able to buy the Jane Mansfield Death Car shirt, which I think is the one that you got too.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few places you could wear that, but it is a ghoulish item. But great. And yeah, it is like you go in, you're like, I don't know, for some reason it doesn't feel as gross to me as like true crime. It's not true crime. Do you know what I mean? It's like this weird area of like celebrity culture and like almost like flea market culture. And like, it's very specific, but to me, it doesn't feel as gross. It doesn't feel to me as much exploitation as it, you might think to me personally. You might have a different reaction.
I'm trying to parse my feelings about it. I mean, it does and it doesn't, because I do think about the families of these people. Sometimes, like, I think about Mariska Hargitay, the daughter of Jane Mansfield.
Every day.
Like, being, yeah. I just think about her sometimes. Like, what's she eating right now for lunch? I just think about her being like, wow, the car that my mother died in is on display here. Like, a gruesome death.
Yes.
She was scalped, you know, the top of the car was cut off, you know, horrifying death. So yeah, I think about, you know, the people who, for whom this museum would be triggering, to say the least.
But, and you know, I say to them, hey, baby, that's Hollywood.
Hey, okay? That's showbiz.
Hey, this is showbiz. If you can't handle it, yeah. Someone else will. That's yeah. What I say as a Hollywood producer.
Uh-huh.
Famous Hollywood producer.
As
Dr. Folklore.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the same could be said about so many things. You know, for instance, it's like in stand-up, you could make a joke about suicide or something, and there's always going to be somebody who's like, well, you know, I don't think that's funny because someone I love died by suicide. And it's like, yeah, well, that's just a part.
Suicide's a part of life, okay?
It is a part of life, and yeah, you can't not joke about things.
Cancel culture's gone too far, you know?
Well, actually, I think that's about all the time we've got for Lillian, so I'm...
You just cut me out.
No, I mean, it's like slightly complicated, but, you know, at the end of the day, no one is really harmed by someone going and taking a door, you know, taking fucking medication. It's like...
It's an homage, you know?
It is.
We should all be so lucky to have our front door pried off when we die, you know, is how I see it.
Unless somebody is living currently in the, in our house.
A little sticky. anyways, but God bless. And, I hope we can all one day meet at the Dearly Departed Museum.
Yeah. That's going to be our first podcast outing.
Wow. Bold. I love it. Yes. Let's be courageous and ambitious.
Goes to show you, Dearly Departed tour.
I mean, West Coast really does something to these East Coast girls, as you all have heard. So yeah. I'm happy to recreate it in any way I can. Anyways, moving on, let's talk briefly, kind of as a precursor to our next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to talk a little bit about EVPs and... The ghost
spirit box.
Spirit box. Just to kind of get that information for those of you who don't know. And it's interesting, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting.
And I think loyal listeners know that we've tried to get a traditional EVP electric voice phenomena by leaving on our recorder while we go to sleep. We got some toilets flushing. we got some ladies walking down the hall. You know, we didn't get any messages from beyond, but that's how you traditionally get one.
Yeah,
that's
we also notably did get me waking up Lillian multiple times throughout the night.
That's a classic. That's a classic EVP. We sent Emily that out
voice
to...
phenomenon.
Well, Emily how voice have phenomenon. Never made that joke before.
I don't know.
So funny.
Lillian, are you awake?
Yeah, oh my God. Please don't do that to me. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to go back to that world. No, you can wake me up whenever you want.
A world in which my clammy body is pressed up against you underneath the covers, waking you up in the middle of the night.
Two beds from now on.
I'm not so sure we've got the budget for that.
That's true. Yeah. Post-COVID, we all have to take its little redundancies here and there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I don't know if we're going to go into the exact history. There's a bunch of basically... There's Konstantin Radivi. I don't know. He's from Latvia. He's Latvian.
Okay.
We got Hans Bender, Frederick Jurgensen, Attila von Sulzle. All of these freaks. throughout history. All of these freak daddies, they're mm-hmm. all the Carl Jung guys.
And then Frank Sumption.
And Frank Sumption, who seems like a real fucking weirdo.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I feel like this is this kind of was on the new technology side of the spiritualism movement, ghost photography. The guy, Attila von Zelay, was a ghost photographer in the 40s and 50s, was mucking around with reel-to-reel stuff. I think the real dude is this Konstantin Radiv guy who wrote a book that I've actually kind of read. It's like a rare book. I found it on the internet somewhere, but it's late 60s, early 70s. As we all know, this was popping off around that time again. Everyone's mm-hmm. like, let's be mystic and ghosts might be real. It's just like basically being like, this is a scientific thing. We can hear spirits talking to us. Like they are accessing these, you know, in like
white noise and
right. And you frequencies. Can, I mean, we've all probably heard or seen these things where it's like on Ghost Hunters. They're like, is there a woman named is Laura? Are you here right now? Are you here with us, Laura? And then you just like somebody in the background's like, yeah, you know, it's like that, like that's what they are now. But back then people were like, no, literally I'm talking to Hitler. Like that's a real example. I'm not just throwing out Hitler.
I didn't read that. I mean, I believe that, but I mostly focused on reading about Frank's box, the spirit box. And I did see that guy Jurgensen who, was trying to record bird sounds because he was a fucking nerd. And then I guess he heard his dead father talking to him in Norwegian.
Sure.
And then that'll his happen. Dead mother. So that, yeah, that's.
Yeah. Once again, we're circling back to grief. But
yes.
Yeah, Frank Sumption, 2002 as what I had as the, yeah. as the father of the modern ghost box, which is what most people use now, which is basically, a fucked up radio that scans constantly, mm-hmm. a white noise generator, scanning radio. The idea being that people, spirits from beyond can harness that energy and reply to you or say things through these waves, whether or not it's manipulating bits of broadcasts or not, whatever you think. But, you know, obviously this is not a perfect science.
Yeah. Some have called it a pseudoscience.
Some have called it not science at all. but I think with all of this stuff, there's the two... pareidolia and apophenia, which are basically just finding meaningful connections in unrelated things. Or pareidolia is like, I see an animal in these clouds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic example. So it's like, I'm hearing, you know, what it's easy to
understand. It's like
I'm hearing
Rorschach.
What I think. Exactly. Yeah. It's ink blot. It's like, I'm hearing what I want to hear. I'm primed. All of these obviously are very subjective situations where you're like, I'm here to hunt ghosts. It's like, yeah, you're already like, what is a ghost going to say to me right now?
Yeah. So one way that I think the ghost box is different from these other modes of capturing EVPs is that, you know, EVPs, you go talk in a room and you record it and you like listen back for any weird white noise in the frequency. And it's so interesting with a ghost box, which basically what it is it is a device that like scans through AM radio frequencies really fast. So it does just sound like white noise, but every now and then a little word will be spit out like from the radio. So, and you know, the idea is that a ghost or a spirit is like helping, you know, send this particular word out as a message to you. Like the ghost is not actually speaking, which in a lot of EVPs, that's what it is. Or mm-hmm. that's, you know, what people think it is that it's, you're hearing a ghost's voice
right.
come through. And you know, I've been listening back to audio of our last episode that hasn't come out yet in which we used a spirit box for the first time. And you can very clearly hear words. It's not mm-hmm. it's not as interpretive. So it's like, to me, it almost seems more valid or at least easier to point to be like, no, that word was spit out. So whether you think a spirit spit it out
right.
or not, sure, that's up for debate. But that word did come out.
Yeah, it's a little more fun, which is why we did it, obviously, because it's super kind fun. Of like, yeah, it's like immersive in the moment. You get results. It's not like you have to play a tape back after 12 hours or whatever.
Right. It's not me sitting and listening to...
Oh, God.
Like 8 hours of just, you know, AC unit. And
I pray for the editors of ghost shows, what they go through, including you. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of audio to sift through, but yeah, it's super fun. We bought one. They're like pretty cheap. I think I got it for like $40 or something online, cause it is literally just a radio. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I get the appeal, and it's like cheap and easy, and it's great for like television and shit like that, you know?
Yeah. And I think we go into this in the episode that's coming out, but basically one way of using the spirit box is that you ask a question that you know the answer to. For instance, how many people are in this room? Mm-hmm. You know, so you, and then you listen for the answer. And so the idea is that if there is a spirit with you, they're going to tell you that answer that you know is the correct answer.
Right.
That is objectively, you know, so then the spirit says what, 5. And then once you, if you hear an answer to your question, then you're like, okay, so we're in it. We can mm-hmm. ask more questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's basically for the skeptics out there. They say this is the modern Ouija board, you know, et cetera. But it's also just like, fuck you, it's fun. But I also love this term for it, which is instrumental transcommunication, which I think is like, I like the way that sounds. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. you communicating through other, you know, channels and means. Little psychokinesis shit. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, I mean, whether or not you believe in it, it is just, like, another... I mean, for us, obviously, it's, like, super fun to... Because we don't have any, you know, you guys know us. We don't have any technology, but we're, like, we're going to start to, you know...
Yeah, we've done so many different modes of spirit communication, or we've attempted so many different modes. We've done tarot cards, now we've done spirit box. What else have we done? Maybe just those two?
Kind of just like chilling.
Oh, we've done EVPs. Yeah. Hanging out.
Hanging out is a kind of a big one.
Hanging and waiting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Direct confrontation as a joke. Yeah. All that stuff. All that tried and true stuff.
That's the one that we're going to develop, the direct confrontation as a gag form of spirit communication. That's what we're going to go down in the books for.
Yeah, that's what you guys are going to be reading about.
You ever tried doing a bit with the ghost?
Mm? Does that kind of ring a bell? Yeah, so a lot of fun. I think there's, like, obviously all of this shit is interpretation and what you believe and et cetera, but it's just also, I don't know, it's just interesting.
It is, and I don't think there's ever going to be, well, maybe there will one day be, but as of now, there's no concrete way of pointing to something being like, this proves that ghosts exist.
Right.
I'm fine with that. That's okay. Like,
yeah, we all don't, you know what? Needing answers is so
childish.
First of all, it's like,
grow up.
And it's also like, we get it. You're a man. It's like, yeah. Okay. I don't need to know. Yeah. I have a deeper understanding of this world than you will ever have.
Yeah, which is that some things are question mark.
And that's, like, sick as hell. I don't want to know everything, because it's... I don't know. Have a little fun and mystery in your life, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, all of these themes are heavily featured in our forthcoming episode. as you can imagine, we did encounter... Well, maybe you couldn't imagine, but we did encounter a skeptic.
Yeah, folks, this episode is a real, this next episode coming out, investigative one, is a real, you know what, it really does feel like a season finale, because it's a whole cast of intimate characters that we interact with in a way that we have not before on this podcast.
That's true.
So, it's really fun. And should we talk about a little bit about our plan for the podcast, and then...
Yes, but really quick, I just want to backtrack to Frank's assumption because I wrote down a couple who invented the spirit box in 2002.
Classic Emily. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know. I just had these things written down about it that I had wanted to touch on.
No, no, no. Go ahead.
Very briefly. He believed that he was not just, I read this in an article about him, he believed he was not just receiving messages from spirits, but also spirits were relaying messages for non-tech-savvy spirits. Basically being like, some of these spirits who are using my machine are tech-savvy, but they're also helping out, you know, their non-tech-savvy spirits. Like, right. You know, we should be all helping out our relatives get a vaccine who don't know how to use the internet. And TurboVax.
The parallels are stunning. Yes.
So that was interesting. Sumption made a total of 180 devices, which he numbered and then gave out to paranormal investigators, which is charitable, which is nice. And he claimed he received his design instructions from the spirit world, who also informed him that he was, quote, a purple princess from a planet called Pleiades. So apparently,
was
spirits.
Was it princess? I thought it was prince.
Princess.
But I'm psyched that it's princess. Good for him.
Yeah. He was told that he was a female alien from another planet by the spirits who also helped him develop this technology.
Sorry. Good for her.
Thank you.
Don't mean
Thank
to misgender Frank Sumption. That is great. And that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of how far do you go? You know?
Yeah. Yep. How far are you willing to go?
Yes, exactly. How are you brave enough to talk to somebody like Frank Sumption about their alien,
alien spirit technology,
etc.? I love throwing in aliens. People love to do that. They say we're already talking about ghosts. Why not aliens?
Yeah. Once you open that door, there's a lot of overlap.
Yeah, there sure is.
And angels also.
Oh yeah. I don't have time for angels at the moment. But
no. ATM,
no angels.
No angels, por favor. Lastly, I just wanted to mention that in this HuffPost article about his death, because he died in 2014, it also says Frank Sumption, it just like threw this in and I don't have any other information about it. Frank sometimes had a prickly persona online, but was considered a warm and quirky guy known for being a dog lover.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that one last little look into her personality.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible person. Wow.
Yeah.
An icon.
An icon.
A queer alien icon.
Okay. That's all I have on Frank Sumption. So before we leave, we'll talk about the future of this podcast and our plans.
Yeah. Basically, we're going to get this next long, fun, investigative episode out to y'all, and then we're going to take, I guess, sort of a summer vacation.
Yeah, we're going to take a brief hiatus. Some of you are like, your whole podcast is a hiatus.
Is one hiatus, and we do know that, and we hear you, and we're listening, and we see you.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening and learning, but sorry. We're doing the work about this podcast, kind of, sometimes.
Yeah.
So we're taking a little break, but during that break, we're kind of scheming about what we're going to bring you next. So we're going to log some episodes. We're not going away forever. We're just kind of taking a moment and, getting our ducks in a row.
Yeah, I think that that's correct. We're getting our ducks in a row. And, you know, the reason it takes us so long between these podcast episodes is because it's a lot of time and money that goes into them for us to, you know, physically go to a haunted place, which usually is a hotel or a bar. So that costs money and takes time. And then also it takes a lot of time for us to like edit the podcast, write the VO, all the stuff, whatever. You get it. It takes a lot of time and money. And so our hope is that we're both vaccinated. We can go out into the field. We can record more episodes. We can get more interview episodes. And then, you know, hopefully like a professional podcast, we can bank all of those so that we can put them out at like a proper season.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That's the idea.
that is the plan. So, you know, we're going to take this hiatus to do that work. We do have this other forthcoming episode coming out. And in the meantime, if you think that there is someone we should talk to, or a haunted place that we should visit, you know, if you've got a rich grandma with a haunted, gorgeous summer home, who wants to give us free reign to sort of
love that, yeah,
you know, have a little haunted sleepover there or whatever, then feel free to email us. What's our,
I think it's just ghosttoshowyou@gmail.com.
Yeah, right. That's what it is.
And, yeah, well, we're always taking, listener suggestions for where we should go. You know, obviously we're based in New York, but, you know, can sort of travel.
Not really
right now, but hopefully soon.
Yeah, hopefully soon. We can travel, but that's why, if you have a rich relative with a haunted home, which I know some of you have to,
in the mid-Atlantic, you know, a drive away would be incredible.
We could be socially distanced in the house.
Bring some wine.
Mm-hmm. So. We would leave it cleaner than we found it.
Yep. Scout's honor.
So.
Yeah. But anyways, all good things. And thanks for being patient and listening to this podcast and being great listeners.
We really love all of our listeners. We love every time we hear from you. And, you know, we hope that you enjoy what we're doing because we love to do it for you and we're passionate about it. So that's all.
That's all. That's all you
get. So get off my fucking back.
You know what? Sick of you guys asking, hey, where's the next podcast? I don't know. Okay? It's a pandemic, and I'm busy, and I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
This took a real turn. You get it when you get it.
That's right.
Just kidding. Love you guys. Okay.
We love you guys.
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. Our original artwork is by Paco Park, and our theme song is by LP. If you have a true ghost story that you'd like to share, you can email us at ghosts2showyou@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, @ghosts2showyou. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mom about it. She might like it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.